Hello, hello, hello. I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. How's everyone this wonderful Monday, this August 6th? Little ditty we're just going to talk about here quickly. Probably spend 15, 20 minutes talking about both sides. Corey Coleman gets traded to the Bills. Compensation is a late pick, a late future pick that's undisclosed at this point. My guess is it's like a sixth. I mean, that's not much, obviously. So, I want to examine it from both sides. And let's talk Coleman coming out of school. You know, I mean, he won the Biletnikoff. You know, no one blamed the Browns for using a mid-first-round pick on this player. He ran under a 4.4. I think it was like a 4.37. 40-inch vertical. Not the biggest, not the most physical guy. Heard some Odell Beckham comparisons. And honestly, I liked Coleman coming out of school, but I never quite went that far. But he does have quickness in and out of his breaks. He's not just a speed guy. However, there were some red flags then that when he won the Biletnikoff, he tore up the NCAA early in that year. And as the season went on and the schedule got tougher and bowl games and those things, he slowed down. He came back to earth. So he abused poor competition. It was a spread system that we know so much about now. I mean, that is a very difficult adjustment in wide open windows and scheme and, you know, spreading the field vertically or horizontally as well as vertically. And he absolutely did his best work as a vertical receiver. Go routes, post routes. Sure, he ran some bubble screens, comebacks, things like that. But the gist of it was he was not a developed route runner. He ran basic routes in a lot of space, and the people guarding him weren't nearly the athlete, let alone the speed player that he was. Fine. You know, I mean, it was not a great receiver class, as it's been for the last couple of years. But what did the Browns do? Well, let's talk about him still as a player. I mean, let's just put it there, is what is he as a player? And I think we don't really know. I mean, he's only 24 years old. He's been in the league 2 years with dreadful quarterback play. I mean, Cody Kessler might be the best and most accurate quarterback that has thrown him the football at the NFL level. And it doesn't get a lot better in Buffalo, but it is better. Caught 56 out of 130 targets. And he doesn't have very good ball skills, and he has drops, but I'm guessing a lot of those targets, too, were not very accurate passers. 718 yards off those 56, so he hasn't been busting long ones left and right either. But he does have 5 touchdowns, and I think he's flashed. I mean, clearly injuries have been a problem. Clearly he's flashed, though. I mean, I think that he's had some big moments. He's had a couple big games. I remember he did a number on the Steelers a year ago. And he is an athlete, and you can see why people are intrigued with him. But the same problems remain. You know, I think he has flawed ball skills, to say the least. And he is not developed as a route runner. And this staff for Cleveland, this front office, didn't draft him. And they brought in Landry. And they drafted Callaway this year and a bunch of others. And we'll get to that in a minute. But we'll get to the Browns side of things here is much more in-depth than the Bills side of things. You know, so I told you what Coleman was coming out, what he is now. And it really isn't all that different, unfortunately. And that's the frustrating part, of course. But quarterback play, scheme hasn't helped him. And certainly he deserves some of the blame as well. But if you're the Bills, I mean, I'm sure their front office probably had a pretty good grade on him coming out of college, as most did. Maybe they didn't have a mid-first-round grade on him. So what? It was probably still a top 50-like grade. And again, he really isn't much different at 24 years old as he was when you had that grade on him. And he has flashed against NFL competition. But the key here for the Bills, and to me this is an easy one, is they don't have anybody else. You know, yeah, they have Benjamin. And that was an odd move when they made it, in my opinion. But it did help them get into the playoffs, I guess. And they were extremely familiar with him with their time together at Carolina and their run-first offense. And he's a big body and a blocker. So, okay, Kelvin Benjamin's your number one, although I don't think he resembles a number one at this level. But Coleman is very different than him. Zay Jones, to me, is probably best out of the slot. Andre Holmes is there. But that's not much competition for Coleman. I mean, the weapons here in Buffalo are terrible. So why not take a chance if it costs you a fifth, sixth, a seventh, you know, something along those lines to add a first-round talent? I mean, why wasn't Dallas involved in this? You know, I mean, bring him back to Texas. And not like it's a huge game changer to bring him in, but it's certainly worth the risk. I mean, if you have to squint real hard to think of Coleman being the best receiver on the Bills this year, you know, Josh Allen throwing him bombs, I don't think that's crazy. You know, I mean, I'm not predicting it. I'm not saying this guy is going to revive his career, but I think getting out of Cleveland sure helps. I mean, Buffalo's not the best landing spot. We'd rather be Dallas or something like that. But he can go past Zay Jones in the blink of an eye or Andre Holmes in the blink of an eye and maybe even Benjamin. So to me, extremely well worth it for the Bills and a no-brainer. Like, yeah, we'll give you a six next year for Corey Coleman. Sure, why not? Maybe he doesn't even have the best attitude. I don't know. Maybe that's why he went about. I still don't care. So what? I'll give you a sixth. Now, of course, the Browns, as usual, are a much more complex creature in this equation. And let's think short term. We're getting some rumors that the Dez Bryant talk could be true. Josh Gordon hasn't even reported to camp yet. Are they worried about that? I don't know how you wouldn't be. Of course, they know a bazillion times more about any of us. But okay, you know, that still is a little worrisome. You know, why isn't he in camp? I do think the key here, and when I saw this move, it made me say they love Callaway. You know, Callaway was a mid-round pick, fourth rounder, and he might be the most talented receiver in this entire class. It's almost a Tyreek Hill situation a couple of years ago, where it's a mid-round pick. I guarantee there was a lot of boards he was not on because of off-the-field issues. Browns don't care about that as much as other teams. Picked him in the mid-rounds. He's a Percy Harvin-like guy. I mean, and I don't use that comparison lightly at all. So, and reports even before this were, boy, Callaway looks good. So, I think they think, boy, we have a star possibly in the fourth round in Callaway. And if he has off-the-field issues, we'll live with it. And maybe you bring in Dez. Landry's your slot. So, I don't think they're short on receiver talent, especially if you bring in Dez. I'm not sure that's the best move for breeding, building a culture in a 0-16 team to bring in Dez Bryant to mix with Josh Gordon, who's not there, and Landry, who is kind of a malcontent in Miami, and, you know, Callaway, who has all sorts of off-the-field issues. It sounds very combustible to me if you start the season 0-6 or, you know, win one game this year or something. Is very possible, but there is talent. There's no doubt about that. Wouldn't shock me at all if the Dez situation comes to fruition. But let's also talk about 2016. That was Sashi's first year drafting, in charge of this project. And I very much believe, and I almost know for a fact, but I can't say I know for a fact, that the deal made between Sashi and ownership was, things aren't working for you, Brownies, right? Let's try something new. Give me 5 years. I'm going to pick at the top of the draft. I'm going to create loads of cap space and draft capital. And I am going to build, from the total ground up, a winner. They were 3-13 when Sashi took over. And they earned the second pick in the draft. Goff goes one. They trade out with the Eagles down to 15. Wentz goes two. Ouch. I mean, that just hurts. I mean, we're analyzing a draft 3 years later. I think it's fair to do so. But I very much remember their way of thinking at the time, too, was, hey, people, no matter how good of a drafter you are, the percentage of hits on draftable players isn't high. So therefore, we're going to use the analytic approach of, and this isn't even analytics, this is, you know, a logical approach of, we're going to make a lot of picks. And if we hit on half of them, we're going to have something good here. So in that first draft, if you remember, the Browns had 14 picks. 14. That's a ton. I mean, think about if your team had 14 new rookies right now. And those picks were Coleman at 15, first pick in the second round, because they were still bad, remember, was Ogba. That worked out. Carl Nassib, Sean Coleman, Cody Kessler, Joe Schobert, Ricardo Lewis, Derek Kindred, Seth Duvall, Jordan Payton, Spencer Drongo, Rashard Higgins, Trey Caldwell, Scooby Wright. So, you would say, boy, that was a mess. But it really wasn't that bad. You know, I mean, this certainly doesn't look good. And now that Coleman is gone, this is crazy. This is a crazy stat if you haven't heard it. But since 2012, they've had one, two, three, four, five, six, seven first-round picks. From 2012 to 2016, they had seven first-round picks. Now, that sounds awesome. None of them are Browns. Coleman, Shelton, Gilbert, Manziel, Mingo, Richardson, Whedon. Some were late, most were early. You have seven first-round picks in that time frame for players that should be in the prime of their career right now. You should really be the best team in the league, or a playoff team for sure. They have zero of those guys. That's insane. Back to the 16 draft, now Coleman's gone. Okay, he's a flop. Fair enough. Not saying that his career's over. We talked about him. Ogbo is a nice pick. Nassib, I understand. Before I go any further, what I think was smart, though, was that Browns draft in 16 that I just talked about, 90% of it is all about stopping the pass, throwing the ball, or passing the ball. You know, a tackle that's in protection. Kessler is a backup quarterback. They drafted four wide receivers, including their first-round pick, as well as a tight end who's kind of a move guy. Everything was about defending the pass. Ogba, Nassib. I mean, those guys are pass-rushing types, especially Ogba. So that vision's correct. I mean, in 16, that was rare. In 18, it's much less rare. The league is about stopping the pass. And I actually just tweeted something that, go look at the playoff teams and where their run defense ended up in terms of average yards allowed. It's crazy because I'm going to pull this up here in 1 second, because almost all of the worst teams in the league in terms of allowing yards per carry last year on defense went to the playoffs. Here's my tweet. Seven of the worst nine teams in the NFL, the nine worst teams on allowing yards per carry, seven of them went to the playoffs. And the team that was dead last of those, you know, wasn't even included in those seven of nine, was the Chargers, who were 9-7 and should have been a playoff team and had a very good defense. Stopping the run doesn't matter that much. And the staff knew that in 2016. So their vision is good. The players they picked, I mean, some of these guys are good players. Kindred, Ogba, certainly Schobert. I mean, people don't realize they're great, good players, but Schobert's a really good player. Ogba's been impressive. So the vision made sense. Part of it, I asked, though, obviously you should have taken Wentz. I mean, we all know that now. I mean, I'm not going to defend that. And I know that wasn't their plan. They were trying to find a Dak Prescott in the mid-rounds for those first two or three years of what was supposed to be a five-year rebuild. And that didn't happen. You know, Kaiser, Kessler, one of those guys. And you could certainly argue that they didn't draft well. But I also think you can absolutely argue that they didn't develop talent well once it arrived to Cleveland. I mean, there's no doubt about that. So don't just blame Sashi. And, oh, by the way, Sashi set this nice next staff up with all sorts of picks. So, you can also, I guess you could blame him and say, well, Corey Coleman busted. Why did you take Corey Coleman? Well, the next other receivers that came off the board in round one were Will Fuller. He was okay last year, and he is what he is. Josh Doctson. Jury's still out, but, I mean, has he been better than Coleman since he joined the NFL? I wouldn't say that yet. Treadwell, who's been a massive bust. Those were the other round one receivers in 2016. And then early in the second round, Sterling Shepard. Good player, but wasn't considered a first rounder. Michael Thomas. Ouch, that hurts. But the honesty, the reality is no one had a mid-first round grade on Michael Thomas back then. You know, no one in the world. Someone will come out of the woodwork and say, I had Thomas ranked higher than Coleman. Maybe you did. But no one else, no one really did. You know, and then Tyler Boyd, they were the second rounders that year. So reality is it wasn't a very good receiver draft. They had their pick of all of them. Would things have turned out drastically different if it was Will Fuller, Josh Doctson, or Laquon Treadwell with that pick instead of Coleman? Tend to think not. So, I don't know. I mean, I just wanted to analyze the whole situation and go back to the roots of it and how the thought process was. And I think in the end, the Bills score huge. The Browns basically wanted this guy out of town. I mean, did they think he couldn't even make the team? If you got Gordon, Landry, Callaway, Dez, and maybe like a Higgins or a guy like that? Maybe. But wow. I mean, all you get is a six-round pick in return. And I know these things sometimes look like fantasy trades, and you always want the player rather than the pick. But in this case, if you're the Bills, sure, dial me up. And again, that's what the Browns were thinking at the time. And I just think it's easy to forget how the logic went. And it didn't work, but there's many reasons for that. All right, thanks so much, guys. We will talk tomorrow. Over and out.